Hi there. I'm a student, a PhD student at Sydney University, and I'm here to tell you some part of the Themastocorus peregrinus story. About 6 years ago, and very suddenly, like almost overnight, a native Australian heteropteron, Themastocorus peregrinus, infested many of our eucalypts and turned them red. Two eucalypts in particular have been really heavily infested, these being Eucalyptus scoparia and Nicolai. These two trees are the most common planted eucalypts on Sydney's streets, gardens and parks. When infested, the leaves of these trees are a faded green, which progresses to a yellowish red, and then eventually the whole canopy turns red and the tree drops these leaves. They can look really crook, and this is the aesthetic cost, but there was a social cost too. You see, when these trees are heavily infested, these bugs fall out of them in their quadzillions, absolutely blanketing everything below. This has resulted in, example, the shade trees in primary schoolyards being fenced off, doctors reporting people's allergies to these insects when they crawl on their skin, and then there was the infamous bug in the latte debacle when a street side cafe proprietor threatened to sue a local council for loss of income because bugs were in coffees and covering tables, chairs and patrons. We were worried about our fauna too. How were the birds and bats going to make a living on these sick-looking defoliated eucalypts? And then there was the koalas. How were we going to make a living if the Japanese tourists stopped coming down under because our koalas were hungry and sick? At times we were a bit alarmed. We don't know if peregrinus kills trees directly, but Sydney suburban councils certainly do. And since in the past years, thousands of eucalypts have been removed from our streets and gardens and parks. In 2004, peregrinus made its way to South Africa and made itself at home in their monocultured plantations of cloned eucalypts. The following year, peregrinus turned up at a swimming pool in Buenos Aires, Argentina, and since then has infested eucalypt plantations in northern Argentina, pretty much all of Uruguay, and is now in Brazil. This is a picture of peregrinus damage in South Africa. It's a plantation of Eucalyptus camaldiensis plant. Okay, this is the protagonist. Peregrinus is about 2.5 to 3 millimetres long. It's very dorsally, ventrally compressed. It's mobile, very fast. It has pads on the end of its tibia that appears to allow it to walk on practically any surface it wishes. Being so flat and sticky, when you get one on you, they're really hard to brush off. Six years ago, we knew nothing at all about this bug. And in fact, the Themastocorids, that's the collective name for all in the family, were considered rare and novel in Australia. So I started out trying to find something out about these insects and started off looking, trying to discover their life history in a lab. I say tentative up there because the insects are really difficult to cultivate and handle in a lab. Excuse me. The first two instars are practically invisible, and they'd prefer to sulk to death on the side of containers than feed on a leaf. I tried many different cages, containers, barriers and devices to make them happy, But after all the swearing and tears, I can confirm that they have 5 instars and that there is a relationship between temperature and hatching time. The adults aren't much easier to deal with, but at least you can see them. And there's 9 days between becoming an adult and producing the first egg. They produce approximately 2 eggs a day in the field. And interestingly, females that haven't been hanging around with males also produce 2 eggs a day. Out at Olympic Park in Sydney, I looked at the distribution of these insects in some trees. The Olympic Park Authority gave me a cherry picker for a couple of hours on a fortnightly basis, which allowed me to get up into 3 eucalypts. Using a stratified sampling technique, I remove leaves from each aspect and at 3 different heights or levels of each tree. The leaves were individually placed in containers and taken back to the lab, where various data was collected from them. For example, position of egg batches on the leaf, adult sex ratio, and the numbers of cohabitors, to name a few. But today I've only got time for the nymphs. And I'll start out by telling you that generalized additive models are a good way of summarizing data and seeing trends. And from this you can see that the nymph numbers on individual trees, the nymph numbers on the trees were different, and that trees weren't infested at the same time, nor were individual trees infested to the same extent the following year. Another additive model, this time with height as the variable, you can see that Peregrinus prefers the mid to upper canopy of a tree, and that there are fewer Peregrinus on the lower levels of the tree. It appears that height is important to them. And lastly, looking at aspect, Peregrinus was consistently sampled from the northern sides of trees. The results of this field study could be helpful in future monitoring programs, especially given the hellish price of hiring cherry pickers. Maybe the effort could be directed to the upper regions of the northern sides of trees. We also tested the efficacy of imidacloprid in controlling Peregrinus on mature Eucalyptus scoparia in an urban setting. And our study site was a busy street in Sutherland. It's a southern suburb of Sydney. We trunk injected the trees with 3 different concentrations of imidacloprid and monitored them for 2 years. The imidacloprid was controlling Peregrinus within a month, and after 2 years the chemical was still doing a pretty good job. But by the end of the second year, September 2006, some of the trees treated with the lowest concentration began to break. Okay, moving on to something more natural. Early on, we discovered 2 myriad wasps parasitizing Peregrinus eggs. Given the damage in South Africa and Argentina, there's plenty of interest in these wasps now. And this year, scientists from South Africa came down and saw us and took back parasitized eggs to their quarantine facilities in South Africa. Our institution, the University of Sydney, is helping Argentina to do the same. Along with all the checks and balances associated with a successful introduction of a biological control agent, South America has an added anxiety. One of the subfamilies of Themastocoridae, Zelastodorinae, is from South Africa and it's found only on palms. This subfamily here, the Australian subfamily of Themastocoridae, is found on dicots. And presently there are 5 described species of Themastocoridae. And we're going to describe at least another eight new species. And very quickly, we'll look at the distribution and hosts of 3 of those new species. On the left of the screen is the host list of Peregrinus. Peregrinus, apart from being found in Sydney, is also attacking trees or along the mid-east coast of Australia. Phreomoriae, a new species listed on the right, is distributed all along the south coast of Australia. And Nadelli, the one next to it, is on street eucalypts in Perth, in Western Australia, and on other things along the entire west coast. Spikey, there, has very recently become a pest on the Corymbia group of eucalypts in Sydney, and presently is attacking plantations of Corymbia in Queensland and northern New South Wales. Along with thanking my supervisors Harley Rose and Jerry Cassis, I must also thank Carlos, Sarah and Dave for their support, Yuri for the chemical control trial, and John Safford for the cherry picker and the access to Olympic Park, and David O'Halloran for the DOSH to get me here. Thank you.
Thank you for a very interesting talk. Do we have time for a question?
Uh-uh. Oh, come on, you want to answer the
question. It's time for a beer, mate.
You have one of the pictures, you have the eucalyptus trees, one's bright red on the left, one's green. And you're suggesting that there could be varietal differences.
They're both the same species, just one's infested and one's not.
Okay.
Why does it turn red?
I don't know. Some people have suggested that the insect injects an enzyme into the epidermis of the leaf.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Very much. Very interesting.